you this story before, but I think it's a good morning to repeat it. When I was younger, I was about 9 or 10, one time I lied to my mother. One time I lied to my mother. She's in the back, she can attest to that. She's shaking her head no. It was something insignificant, something about my brother. I had stolen his sandwich or something. My mom called me and says, "Jesse, when you lie to me, it's like taking a cup, throwing it on the ground, and shattering it into a million little pieces. And then it's like trying to pick up the pieces and put them back together, and they'll never fit exactly right. There'll always be little gaps. And so when you try to use the cup and you try to pour water into it, water will spill back out. That's what it's like when you lie to me. I trust you a little bit less every time." And for about 5 or 6 years, I was struggling with this, and I came to my mom once and I said, "Mom, remember that time you told me that every time I lied to you, my glass is being shattered?" And my mom says, "Jesse, you were 9 years old. How do you remember that?" I said, "Mom, it was quite traumatic. It stuck with me." So I asked her, "Do you still not trust me? Does every time I lie to you, does the cracks get bigger and bigger?" And she says, "No, I love you. The cup kind of heals over time. I don't trust you the first day, and maybe not the second day, but by the weekend, I love you, and I'll trust you again." And I don't think my mom expected me at 9 years old to become a pastor, or that I would use this story during my Easter sermon. But I think that that is what sin is like, and I think that is a good place to start us off this Easter morning. Genesis 1:27 says, "God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." We are made in the image of God. We're made beautiful and perfect. We're made like that glass. But then something broke, and our glass was shattered into a million little pieces. That's sin. Sin is when our image of God has been destroyed, and as John Wesley would say, we are now in the image of depravity. We are beholden to sin. All we can do is keep on sinning. We're made like that glass, fragile and perfect, but then sin enters the world and we leak. We no longer hold water. Even as much as we try, water spills out of our cup. Sometimes it seems like that's all we can do is keep sinning. I'll admit, I sin. I teased my brother last night and this morning. He's got thick glasses on. Women told me to stop it. I was short with my sister and rude to her. I lied to my mother yesterday, which is the second time in my life I've lied to my mother. Sometimes we can't help but sin. It seems like that is what the human condition is. That is what we are built to do, is to sin. And how can that be so if in Genesis 1 we were told that we were made in the image of God? This has been going on since human beings could talk, walk, or think. We've always known that something was wrong. We can feel it or sense it. We know that this is not what we are meant to be. All you have to do is look outside of our doors sometimes, and you know that there's something wrong with the world. Even when God calls Abraham from the desert, God tells Abraham that if he and his family worship him, if he listens to God, that God will bless him. In Genesis 26, it says, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." If we obey God, listen to God, worship God, we will be blessed. But it's never been that easy. The entirety of the Hebrew Bible, the first half of this Bible, this book, it's about God trying to get humanity to stop sinning, to listen to him, to stop hurting one another, to stop breaking the glass over and over so that we leak like a screen instead of something that looks like a glass. So God decided to humble himself. He sent his son into the world to live as we do, to work as we do, to love as we do, to experience humanity as we do. Jesus came to earth and said, you don't need to live this way. You don't need to follow the law to figure out how to stop sinning. All you have to do is love God, love each other, and you will stop sinning. It's that easy. And then on Friday, Jesus was killed, crucified by the very people he came to save, abandoned by his disciples, his friends that he ate dinner with the night before abandoned him. He was betrayed by one of the 12, beaten and killed in one of the most humiliating and painful deaths that there has ever been invented by humanity. A death worthy of a thief, but not of God. Jesus is crucified, and instantly our sins are forgiven. My sins, your sins, every person who's ever lived, every person who ever will live, our sins have all been forgiven on that cross on Friday. And that alone would be enough to celebrate. That alone would be enough for us to say, hallelujah, praise God, amen, Father Abraham. And just like Broadway, I don't think I've trained you people enough. No one's responding to me sometimes. Our sin has been forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last week at Palm Sunday at Broadway, we had a handful of youth, because they also have an Easter egg hunt afterwards. I brought the children and youth up for a pastor children's time, and I was asking them questions about parades, and they were not bringing me any information. I asked them if they like parades, and they just looked at me with blank faces. Well, there's the 4th of July parade. It comes right by my house. I love it. But I think I just haven't trained the children yet. I don't think I've trained the congregation yet. On Friday, your sins were forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That should be enough for us, folks. And it was. Your sins have been forgiven. There's nothing you could do, nothing you can pay, nothing that is on your side of the equation for your sins to have been forgiven on Friday. That was a gift that God gave to you because God loves you. God still loves you. He loved you so much that his son came to die so that we could live in eternity with him. He died so our cup could be fixed. We don't have to keep sinning anymore. We are a saved people. Amen. And that is enough for a story. That is enough for a sermon. That is enough to be Christians. Thankfully, that's not where the story ends, or else we wouldn't need to be in church this morning. It's not as bad today in here, but these flowers, I'm a little allergic. So if you see me wheezing, that's why. I'm tucking in my shirt, which I only do on Sundays, and a couple other days during the week. If all we needed to do was wait on the cross, and then on Friday our sins were forgiven, we wouldn't come back this morning. But the truth is, this morning as we've read the scripture, the story didn't end on that cross. Mary Magdalene went early in the morning, saw that the tomb was open, and ran to get the disciples. She says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him. We have to bury him. We have to honor him. Where is he? Where is our Lord? And the disciples, Peter and John, run to the tomb. They see it is empty, and they just go back home. But Mary stays, cries, overwhelmed by the past week, and she turns and she sees a gardener. It'd be like turning and seeing a construction worker. And she says, sir, where have you taken his body? Let me know where he is, I can bury him. And so Jesus says, Mary, and she knows it is him. The story doesn't end at the cross. The story doesn't end on Friday. The tomb is open and Jesus is alive. He says to Mary, go get my brothers. Go get my disciples. We got work to do. If you read ahead in John, if you read in Luke or Matthew, if you read in the early book of Acts, Jesus opens their minds to the scriptures in such a way where they are able to carry the church onward. They are able to know what it means to be a Christian, know what it means to be made in the image of God, know what it means to have their cup fixed, and be able to hold again. Yes, our sins are forgiven at that cross on Friday, but on Sunday we come back. On Sunday we have to learn how to live differently. Yes, our sins are forgiven and our cup can hold, but what does that mean to hold water again? What does that mean to look as if you're made in the image of God? What does that mean to be an Easter people? Easter, today's Easter. We're made in the image of God. While that image was shattered, our cup has been fixed. It has been made perfect again. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to death. And what that means is we don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to be afraid of death. We know where we are going. We will be resurrected again. That those of the faithful will live in heaven again with us for all of eternity. The cross was a gift that we do not deserve. The cross was a gift that was free, that we could never repay. But God wants us to try. We're not supposed to just sit here and say, well, we're good. Our sins have been forgiven, let's move on with our lives. Our sins have been forgiven, let's move on with our weekend. The cross happened and now we're done. We're supposed to keep trying, friends. Jesus gave us three specific commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And finally, love one another as I have first loved you. That's all we have to do, but boy, oh boy, is that difficult. I don't know about you, but there's some days that I can't help but sin. Some days where all I can do is tease my little brother, be short with a coworker, struggle with my friends or my family. Love one another as I have first loved you. Sometimes I don't think we understand what he's saying there. He follows it up by saying, there is no greater love than he who gives his life up for his friends. We have to love sacrificially. We have to love in such a way that it hurts us, that it's not just what we can do for others and enough that makes us comfortable. Come in on Sunday and go home afterwards and nothing has changed. We have to love in such a way that it hurts, that it makes us uncomfortable, that we get out of our comfort zone, that we give everything we can to love each other. That's what Jesus was talking about. It wasn't just love and then go home and watch TV again. Love in such a way that only Jesus has loved you. My mom had a bag of jelly beans this week, and I don't like jelly beans, but we were driving and I kept reaching over and saying, you know, give me some jelly beans, but no black ones. And then she'd give me a jelly bean, and she'd eat a jelly bean. And then she's like, stop eating my jelly beans. I'm like, Mom, you love it. First off, you've been giving me your jelly beans all my life. And she goes, I've been throughout my entire life taking food out of my mouth and giving it to you kids. And I'm like, don't exaggerate. She goes, literally, I've been eating, and you said, I want that. And then I've taken that food from her. And now she's shaking her head at me again. That's sacrificial love. It's not just being uncomfortable. It's not just going home and saying, well, I'm going to write a $10 check to Paris and Notre Dame. It's not a $5 check to the American Red Cross or victims of hurricanes. As much as Howard and Sharon and Linda probably don't want me to say, it's not just writing a check to Port Colden. It's being sacrificially loving. It's going out and sitting with those who are homeless or poor, those who smell and we don't want to be near them. They make us icky and stitchy. Itchy and sticky. What did I say? It's okay.
Sticky.
It's okay. makes us uncomfortable when we love that much. Makes us uncomfortable for ourselves when we love that much. Makes us feel weird when we love that much. That's the kind of love that Jesus gave us on Friday. That's how he showed us how he loved us on Friday, enough to die for us so that our cups would be fixed, that we don't have to sin anymore, that we will not die and go to hell, that we will live in paradise forever. That is how much he loves us. And that is how we are supposed to love one another. That's what it means to be Easter people, and it is hard. I'll admit, it makes me uncomfortable thinking about that sometimes. Getting out of my comfort zone, giving in such a way that actually affects me personally. It's hard to do. I don't think I do it well enough. But on this Easter, on this 3 days after he died, he comes back this morning. This is what he wants us to do. He gave everything for us to be alive, to live in eternity, and so we have to be a little uncomfortable. We have to love as he first loved us. Amen.